welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I am Lee Cantor, and I am joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. How you doing, Stone?
Happy Groundhog Day.
Is that what it is?
Well, I thought I heard that on NPR this morning. Now, I don't know what the groundhog saw, but I do think it's Groundhog Day.
Oh, cool. So what does that mean? That winter will know tomorrow? I think Rachel knows.
We don't have her on mic, so she's doing hand signals. So we'll find out. We'll make her write it out in a little bit. So I don't really know how all that works, but it's just, it's always so much more winter every time, regardless of what the grandma sees.
He's not very accurate.
Well, I grew up in Florida. You grew up in Florida. This is the North Pole to my family.
Yeah, me too.
Up here in Atlanta. They think I'm this Yankee because I live way up in Atlanta. So what's happening today? Who do we have in the studio?
Big show. We got the Startup Riot crew, and we have our buddy from Cone Wolf.
All right. So we're going to open the show with the Startup Riot guys, right?
Yes.
And let's make sure that we pronounce this appropriately. Sunjay, right?
Sunjay. Yes.
Oh, you know what I didn't practice was the last name.
Now you're in trouble.
But we're on a first name basis. You know, people come in the studio. We have a good time. So welcome to the show, Sunjay.
Thanks a lot.
We're delighted to have you, man. Startup Riot. Give us a little bit of a feel for what you guys do for folks.
Yeah, so we started up back in 2008 as a day-long event to give back and help out other entrepreneurs, give them 3 minutes to present 4 slides in front of a large audience. So the event has grown kind of dramatically over the years. We've expanded the event. We expanded to Seattle last year. We've expanded into career fairs as well. And then this year we're doing a hackathon. So really the focus is doing things that will help entrepreneurs succeed, create new startups, you know, help them find employees.
This show has been called a hackathon before. So.
Just hacks. We've been called hacks.
So why are they wanting to present? What are they trying to get accomplished through presenting?
Yeah. So the reason they present is actually all over the place. For some people, it's because they want to raise money. For some people, it's they want to get kind of noticed and get people to know about them and using them. And then for other people, it's because they're looking for co-founders or employees. So the reason is all over the place, as well as kind of where they're all from. In the last few years, we've gotten people internationally. Like this year, we've got people flying in from Europe, as well as other places to come to the event and to present at the event. So, you know, it's really kind of been a big focus for me to kind of help elevate the visibility of the Atlanta startup community through this event.
But the event is also kind of performance art, isn't it? So you get a big crowd there. It's like wrestling.
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it as performance art. I mean, there's no Blue Man Group or anything, but
there could be.
There could be. I guess so. So, last year we had 450 plus attendees at the event. And then the important thing to know about the event and the reason we do this is, you know, we do things a little bit differently. So we screen everybody that comes into the event, and we don't allow service providers. We don't allow lawyers, accountants, headhunters, consultants.
We don't allow lawyers in a lot of our events either.
That's a rule for us.
That might be a good rule. obviously, if they're sponsors, they're allowed into the event. And so we really focus on the people that we're trying to help. So entrepreneurs, investors, corporate folks that are going to buy startups or buy from startups, and then people that support the industry. So incubators and small business administration folks like that. It's really about cramming a lot of people that are going to help one another into a big venue. And we're going to be at the Tabernacle again this year, which is a fantastic venue, and figuring out how they can help each other.
So what is the startup climate these days? Is money flowing pretty free? Is it still kind of tight? What's it like out there now?
Yeah, it seems like it's getting better. There's a couple of groups in town that are starting to invest again into startups. There seems to be a number of startups here in town that are raising money successfully. We've got Flashpoint Group down at Georgia Tech that just graduated their first class of startups, and a number of them are actually doing really well, and hopefully they'll be doing another class this summer. And disclaimer, I'm an investor into Flashpoint through ShotPut Ventures. All these things, I think, kind of point the way that things are getting better. There's still obviously pockets of places where things are not great. And even here, things, you know, there's always issues. But, you know, I always say entrepreneurship is not easy. If it was easy, everybody would do it. I mean, there's always going to be hurdles. And if it's not money, it's something else. So you can't really complain about it. This is kind of the life that you decided on. And so if you don't like it, go get a 9-to-5.
Job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, are startups only for the young? Or you got like a 70-year-old? Is there a Grandma Moses startup thing going on?
I think in the last few years, I think we've seen more and more folks willing to try it. You know, if they've been let go from jobs,
right?
What's the downside, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, if you don't have a job anyways, you might as well try to create your
own.
You're
a consultant.
Exactly.
You might as well have your own business.
Exactly. So, I think we've been seeing more of that, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, I think it shouldn't be just for the young. I mean, the young have less risk, I think, in doing startups, and I think that's why they tend to that.
Right.
Because if you fail, you're not going to destroy your retirement.
Right. You go back and live with mom and dad and get back on your feet, right?
Right. When you have nothing, you have nothing to lose, right?
Yeah. or you take, Facebook IPO and you get $25 billion. And,
it's that simple.
Pay for mom and dad.
Now, you're an investor as well. You just mentioned that you have an investment in this one organization. What kinds of things do you look for? Do you have this very disciplined spreadsheet and checkbox kind of thing, or is it a gut feel? Or
yeah, I'm not the spreadsheet guy. I actually have a term for that, which is spreadsheet jockey. And I hate that. I hate investors that just judge things based solely on the numbers and on the finances. Because, that's fine if you're doing that in the public markets. That's a different story. But when you're doing it at startups, it's a totally different thing. So for me, a lot of it is gut. There's investments that I've made are just because I like the entrepreneurs. I think they're going to go out there and take control of the world. If they fail, I know they're going to fail trying rather than just be like, I don't want to do this anymore. So those are the kind of people that I really want to invest in.
Now at this event, it's, you have to have tickets, right?
You have to have tickets. You have to apply beforehand and be approved
to be an attendee.
To be an attendee.
As well as startup person.
Yeah. You can't walk up the day of the event and buy a ticket because we don't know who you are.
And how much is a ticket?
It ranges from $30 on the low side for entrepreneurs up to $70 on the high side for investors. So, compared to other day-long events, super cheap.
Right. And then it's an all-day, morning till night.
It's an all-day thing.
The wee hours.
Yeah, it starts at about 8 a.m. and goes to 7. The last 2 hours are an after party, which is always a lot of fun.
So let's get some tips, though, on crafting and then actually making a presentation to would-be investors. It's something you and I are going to have to learn at some point, unless you've got deeper pockets than I know about, because we want to scale this thing, right?
That's right. Now, we have four slides. What are the four? That's good for us, because we couldn't do more than three. So what would you put on your four slides?
The focus when you're doing an event like this is that a lot of people want to put words on a slide. Now, I think you guys have obviously been in presentations before. What happens when you get a slide with a bunch of words on it? Everybody starts reading those slides, right?
You check your BlackBerry.
Yeah, exactly, right? Nobody keeps listening to the guy anymore or the gal that's presenting. And the point of the slides is not to make a, something that you interact with. It's you want to engage the audience, right? And so, having a script or something like that, that is just not allowed. I mean, I rip apart the people that that apply for Startup Riot and make them remove words. I mean, we've been through this process just now as we've been selecting folks, because that's just boring. Because, one of two things happens. Either I don't finish reading the slide and you go on to the next one and I'm annoyed, or I finish reading the slide before you finish reading the slide
and
I'm annoyed. Exactly. So either way, I'm annoyed. So, that's one big thing. The other big thing is that you got to focus on kind of the big picture and not focus on kind of the minutiae. A lot of entrepreneurs want to talk about every little doodad and thing that they do, and that's not the point.
They're very proud.
Exactly, because they want to show off what they built, and I understand that. But the point of a three-minute presentation, or any presentation, honestly, is not to talk about everything that you do. It's more about getting the people that are listening to you to come up to you afterwards and say, I want to hear more.
Right. You just want to be intriguing.
Right. Exactly. And that's the big point I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss.
Now, do you ring a bell? Do you shut their mic off? What do you do in 3 minutes?
So that's a good question.
Shoot them with a Nerf ball, a paintball?
Yeah. In the past, we've...
Taser. Taser.
Ball. Taser. That
you
might be
there,
good.
The guy right next to him?
Oh, we need to get Taser to sponsor the event. And
there you go.
Taser. Man, stun guns. That's awesome. In the past, what we've done is we've kind of turned down their mic. This year, we're actually changing the event a little bit. It's 3 minutes, four slides, and then 3 minutes of Q&A. And so the judges are really going to be responsible for saying, okay, you're done talking. Now we're going to ask you questions. And then when the 3 minutes is up of Q&A to get them off the stage.
Now, what are some of the questions? Are you trying to stump them? Or are you trying to see how well they perform under pressure? Or you really just want to explore more some of the things they discuss in their 3 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, it's really that, because a lot of times there'll be some one big piece of something that they didn't touch on or didn't fully explain. And so that's really the point of having the judges there, so they can ask those questions. We don't give them canned questions or anything else like that.
So you're not telling them what the questions are?
No, not at all.
They got to think on their feet.
It's totally up to them. Yeah, the presenters absolutely have to think on their feet. But that's kind of the point of being an entrepreneur.
Right.
So what's the best way to prepare if you're an investor and you pay the get the $70 ticket, and you want to go see what's going on. And what's the best way to prepare for this and get the most out of the event for the investor?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to make sure you're there the whole day. We have a lot of people that float in and out, not just investors, but other folks too.
Right.
But you've got to be there and engaged. You know, we've got internet access at the event, so you could sit there and check email, but you're really not going to be getting kind of the point of it. You know, for somebody like me that's running an event, that's what we want people to do. We want them to be on Twitter talking about the event and everything. But really, the big value for the attendees is to not be on Twitter. It's about engaging with the people that are there. I mean, for the things that we do of keeping all the wrong people out,
right,
that means that everybody at the event is somebody that you should meet.
Exactly. I mean, why else are you there for?
Exactly. Right? And so, you know, a lot of times you see people, you know, on their little Blackberries or smartphones or whatever playing with that. And it's like, you can do that any other time.
Right.
The people that are in that room, you can't meet them at any other time.
Especially all in one place like that.
Exactly.
Now, would you want them to, do you give them a heads up? Like, okay, these are going to be all the people presenting so they know kind of who they like? Or
nope.
They,
oh, so nope. It's all a surprise for everybody.
Wow.
And there's a reason for that. So the reason we do the format the way we do is, you know, if you see the event, everybody is sitting there. And in 3 minutes, you know, you probably figure out in the first 60 seconds if you care about this company or not.
Right.
But it's not enough time to get up and wander around. And so everybody just sits there. And that's what I want. Because I don't really care necessarily about those people that are in the room. I care about all the people that they know. And so they might not care about the company that's presenting, but somebody they know might care about the company that's presenting. So that's kind of the point. So, you know, everybody basically just sits there and they absorb it all. And so that's kind of the key for us.
So now if you're a investor, do you get like kind of a scorecard that you can keep track of the stuff or everything? You got to bring your own paper and write down.
No, like, you get the auto auction.
You know, that's how I'm picturing it.
Right. Hold your paddle up. Right, you know, exactly. Hey, I want more time with this guy.
We do give handouts. And so they've got brief information on all the companies, 140 characters, because we're in the age of Twitter.
That's it.
And then they get a little bit of contact information. And then all the startups have a demo table downstairs. And so they can easily go find the companies when they want.
So it's like
to
a little
more
trade show after the.
Exactly.
So then
well,
they can
all
get
throughout
more,
the day, throughout actually. The day. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So you watch the presentation, then you say, I really want to talk to this person, and that person.
Yep.
And then I like that. So this event is 2/22, February the 22nd.
Right.
So what are you doing with your time February 23rd up to the next event? What?
That's,
or is this just a one day once in a
he's
while?
Recovering.
He's like, he's going to write the 4-day work year book, right?
Man, if it was only 4 days, I tell you what, the last couple of months have been just crazy building up to this. So we do a couple of things. Last year, like I said, we expanded out to Seattle, and so we do the day-long event there as well. We've expanded out to career fairs, and career fairs are very similar to the main event in that we actually screen all the job seekers. So if somebody comes that's a marketing person, we don't have any marketing jobs, we don't let them come. It doesn't cost them anything to come or apply, but we just don't want to waste their time, and we don't want to waste the time of our recruiters. So actually, the day before the event, on the 21st of February, we're doing a career fair here in Atlanta. And apps are open for job seekers. And we've got, I think, nine companies maybe now that are looking for people to fill. And those are all startups. And then the weekend before that, we're actually doing that hackathon. But we'll do Seattle later on this year. And then we're also going to expand the career fair into other cities. So we're not going to do the day-long event in any other, at least, U.S. cities. But we are going to start doing the career fair in other cities.
How did you pick Seattle as a second location?
Diagonally across the U.S. from us. Looking at their community, it was very much in a similar state as us. You know, I heard people complaining about the same things that they were here. And I really felt like we could become a part of their community and kind of become embedded in the community and really help them along. Now, that's kind of the point of the event. You know, it's not about just doing this day-long event. It's about being a part of the community and helping them along.
Now, do you have people in Seattle that are kind of working on that or that's you?
Yeah, that's us.
That's
we don't have anybody there. Yeah, last year when we did the event, we signed up for the venue, sight unseen, walked in the day before and said, oh, okay,
we
this
can
is
work
where
with
we're
this.
Doing it.
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah.
We ought to try to make this event, man, if we can. I mean, I know you and I aren't allowed to touch the calendar, but we ought to try to make this event. This would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, don't you think it'd be fun, I think, if you're up for it sometime down the road, to maybe bring in some of these people that are doing the presenting. I don't know, maybe the two or three that do the best job or get the most activity.
Like, yeah.
Is there a winner? You said they're judges.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we started doing prizes. And last year, we did kind of introductions to top VCs. So last year, the top winner got 17 30-minute meetings, so 8.5 hours worth of meetings,
oh,
guaranteed
wow.
with top-end investors.
Wow.
This year, it's a little bit less, but this year it is the top winner gets $25,000 investment cash, as well as access into an incubator in Chattanooga, where if they win that, they get a $100,000 grant. Not investment, cash grant, so free money.
Wow.
Out of that. So there's a bunch of other prizes as well that I, of course, can never remember off the
top
of my head.
Is that the group that's doing the T1? Isn't there a group in Chattanooga with something, a high-speed internet?
Yeah, they've got gigabit internet access everywhere. So, yeah, this place is called the Gig Tank. Wow. So that's an incubator that they've started up there. So that's the prizes. So the judges are going to pick the top five startups from all of the 30 presenters, and then the audience gets to pick the top three from those five.
Oh, that's cool. But the idea was that might be fun to have them come in the studio on the back side of that. So, I don't know. Might be worth talking about. That could be fun.
Yeah, why not?
That'd make for a good show.
Now, terrific. What do you do with the people who don't win? You just throw them back?
We kick them to the curb. No, they, the top three get prizes.
Right.
And then everybody else, you know, they're there. And,
it
you know,
took a swing at the bat, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, even if you don't present, being at the event, you meet all of these right people.
Right.
I've heard from folks that are told me that they've found employees at the event. They found people to sell their business to at the event. And these are people that haven't presented.
They were just there.
They were just there.
Right.
So, you know, you can only imagine the people that presented, that's even a bigger lift.
It's like American Idol. Even if you don't win, you're still going to get the contract, right? You're going to run into somebody. Very cool. So how can our listeners get in touch with you, learn more about this, get tapped into this?
Yeah, so the site is startupriot.com. All the information is there. So that's startup, R-I-O-T. It's not an actual riot. It's just, in theory, we don't Molotov cocktails or nothing like that. We want to stay friendly with the folks at the Tabernacle. All the information is there. Applications to attend are open. To present are now closed. But there's also a mailing list if folks can't get to the event this year. And then they can hear about Seattle as well as career fairs as well as the Atlanta event next year.
Now, are you seeing young people? You want to get engaged kind of high school kids? Is there any part of this? I know career fair is for where you graduated, I guess, and you want to get a job, but are you doing anything to engage younger people?
Yeah, so we've had some discussions with folks in high schools that are like career folks in high schools that run internships, and I don't know that we've gotten anybody signed up, but I mean, we're absolutely happy to have kids that are in high school or even before to kind of expose them to entrepreneurship and startups. I know we're getting a lot of folks from colleges that are still in college coming to the event. And you know, maybe that's a more appropriate place, but you know, I think it's never too early
younger,
to know about
the better,
entrepreneurship.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you just got to love what you're doing. I can see it. I can feel it. I know our listeners can feel it over the airways. You're so passionate about what you're doing. You must sleep well at night and have a lot of fun.
When we're not in the run up to the event, I sleep well at night, but when we're in the run up, man, it's stressful. But you know, the reason we do this is to give back. You know, I had a startup before that was acquired in 2007. That's why, you know, in 2008, I started this event, and it was really to give back and help out other entrepreneurs because, you know, I had good success. And it wasn't because I was so smart or anything. A lot of it has to do with luck. A lot of it has to do with the people that help you along the way. And so I wanted to pay that forward and help out others because of that.
Well, you are so generous. Thanks for coming on the show. We got to have you back sometime, and maybe with some of the winners or somebody else.
Absolutely.
Hey, how about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Yeah, no worries. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So, Lee, we got this Atlanta Best Connectors thing off the ground,
right?
Isn't that how this came about, next interview?
And Stephen is our first connector in the series.
So
that's a lot of pressure.
Well, before you put the pressure on him, tell our listeners a little bit about this Atlanta Best Connectors thing.
We sent out a blast to our list and said, hey, anybody know any connectors? We'd like to do a series on connectors. And we thought, we'll get a handful of people. We got probably close to 100 nominations of people who felt that this person was a good connector in their industry. And you, Mr. Stephen?
We should have been like selling a good connector badge or sticker along with this, right?
Sticker. It's all about the stickers.
How are we going to monetize this thing? Okay, enough of him. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Oh, thank you so much, Stone and Lee. Appreciate it.
So you're with Conan Wolf.
That's right. I've been the managing director at Conan Wolf since August, so pretty new to it.
Wow. So Conan Wolf is PR. What do you guys do?
A PR firm that started in Atlanta in 1970. So it's one of the classic PR firms in Atlanta. It's now an international firm. And here in Atlanta, we do social media, public relations, marketing, crisis, you name it. So anything that helps your company maintain, increase, expand its reputation in a good way. And a lot of our networking that we're doing is actually helping people with social networking, optimizing their LinkedIn program so that they can get discovered by other companies, other influencers, and doing
a lot. You think that social media thing, is that real or is that a fad? Is that going to stick around?
Is that going to catch on?
It's definitely going to last. It's hard to keep up with all of them. I just got on Tumblr recently. Someone was talking me into Pinterest yesterday. And it's just, they're all addictive in their own way. But basically, they all speak to the idea that we can communicate in real time immediately and get our point across. And companies are definitely taking note of consumers and citizens who make themselves known.
Now, how you were nominated as a connector. What do you think makes you a good connector?
You know, I only know how many resumes I get in an average day. That might be part of it.
You think this was someone just sucking up to you?
I don't. I hope it's not that, but I definitely think that the idea of trying to know a lot of people in town is very important. I moved here in 1998 from South Carolina and didn't know a soul.
Right.
And made a little covenant with myself that I was going to get to know someone at every major company in town. Now, there's still 5 or 6 companies I don't know anyone at. And as soon as I hear that name at a networking event, I probably beeline over to them just to have somebody that I know there. And it's just very important because when I advise students who are getting out of college about a job in town, as a preamble to the meeting with me, I make them come up with a top 10 list of who they want to meet with.
Right.
Just because it's one more way to show that they do a little homework. And then I can say like, oh, well, if you're looking to talk to someone at Turner, I have a friend, or Coke, I have a friend. And those friends may not be a friend after I've socked all these students on them.
Why are you sending me 100 high school kids?
But it's just a matter of making sure that that person really knows what they're all about and what they're seeking in the town. Because you can say you want a marketing job or a job in entertainment or hospitality until you put
it
on
paper. Is
that
what they all want to do? They all want some glamorous job where they're hobnobbing with celebrities?
It does seem like it. And I advise a lot of students that in PR, healthcare and technology are really the spaces to get into. And you might find yourself meeting Justin Timberlake or Usher through a trade show event or something, but not actually looking to handle their PR right out of the bat.
Are they buying that? Because I don't know if I'd buy
they
that.
They still want to help the celebrity. But a lot of folks who are bright realize that healthcare and tech are sort of the areas of PR that are going to serve you well for the long term.
You got to keep them grounded. You know, not everybody can be a radio host. It's very few people.
Tell them about the school.
Let them keep dreaming big.
All the education and hard work that we put into this. Tonight, I'm going to the World Chamber of Commerce event. I got to wear that jacket that you saw a little while ago.
Again, twice in one day.
Yes, exactly. I got to wear socks the whole bit. And so it's the World Chamber of Commerce networking kind of thing, and then we're all going to the symphony. I did it for one because I get to take my wife to the symphony, but I don't know how to work a room. There's some people that know how to work a room. How do you work a room?
Absolutely. Well, Stone, I know you're going to know people already going into the event, but if you didn't, let's imagine one of the things is to seek out the lone wolves in the room. So to find out people who actually are alone, because at least you can talk to them about how you both don't know anybody there. And it's always important where there's food, there are people, and there are people willing to talk. So if you walk up to an area at a continental breakfast or at an event like tonight, go for the coffee, go for the area where there's cocktails, because you'll definitely find other people who are in a casual mode just to chat it up. So that helps a lot. Always have business cards. I know this is probably the last year we'll still even have business cards. We'll be bumping phones till the end of the earth. Mm-hmm. But definitely business cards are still very important, and being able to have one handy. And also, straight up tell people what you do. Some people try to use humor a lot and say like, what do you do by day? And they make up something silly. Don't do that. That's a chance where someone's legitimately asking you what you do and hopes to make a connection with you. So a lot of times I find people try to use humor there, and it's a time they missed to be able to connect with someone. And just in general, make sure that if there are folks that you do meet, that you follow up with those, at least a day or so later, just to let them know you're glad to run into them and that in this small town of Atlanta that you'd look forward to crossing paths again. So those are a couple tips.
And now what about in social media? What's your company's policy? Do you let your people go on Facebook all day long? You encourage that?
We encourage them to use all the social networking for its intended purpose for business. We do have folks in our office, actually, that have blogs about food. They have other blogs about fashion. So
that are personal.
Personal as well.
Nothing to do with Cone Wolf, right?
Well, except for that some of their clients end up playing in those spaces. So that's a really good thing.
But so you're okay with that?
totally okay with it. And I think we encourage tweeting. The most fun thing about tweeting, I find, is when you tweet at a conference. And sometimes you've got to be very careful to only focus in on the speakers at some place like Startup Riot. But at other folks, I was at an international convention recently, and Twitter was kind of the passing notes in class feeling. We were networking while we were listening to the speaker, and it was the people who were passing along the nuggets of insights, and you were following each other during the meeting. And afterwards, you're like, oh, I just followed you on Twitter. And you actually meet people offline that you met that yep. way. So I think Twitter, Facebook is all a great way to increase your network as well.
How do you pick your events? There's so many networking opportunities. And I know how I picked this one. I wanted to take Holly to the symphony. And I have a kid that's going to be studying at Oxford in England. And I want her to stay longer and get an internship. So I want to kind of get in with the international crowd. So I knew this.
So you're going to announce this?
Absolutely. I'm taking every advantage of it. So, but
you didn't just love the symphony.
I'm sure we'll have a great time at the symphony too. But how do you pick your events?
Absolutely. Well, I try to put myself in places where I don't know anyone. So that's tough. In the PRSA world, for instance, that I am very involved in, I walk into the room and I know most of the other folks in public relations. But when I walk into a sports council or an American Marketing Association or a Chamber of Commerce event, I may find that I don't know anyone. And that's really good for me because I like to leave finding out a couple companies that I didn't know, friends that I'll make. For instance, at a Chamber of Commerce meeting, I met the folks from High Road Ice Cream recently, a great Atlanta company, and literally never met them before and got to talk to them. And
so you
they're
can check
a great
them
startup
off your
success.
List
exactly. I know. I didn't know they were on my list, and now they are. But one of those just interesting ways to walk into a place that you didn't even expect. I just joined a board that I wouldn't have expected called Coaches Curing Kids Cancer. And it's all about special programs that help with pediatric cancer research, but they involve sports.
Right.
I'm actually not really a sports guy. So
really?
I'm getting to meet all these coaches that people are like looking forward to talking to. And that's not even my space to hobnob in. So,
so
it's
is joining
things,
boards a networking tool for you?
Absolutely. It can't be something that you're not passionate about in the first place. So I had some really good friends that got me involved in that one. My passion is in the arts and film.
Uh-huh.
And so being involved on the Alliance Theater.
That's kind of a no-brainer, though, that part, right, for
No doubt. Those are the ones that you get very excited about being invited into, and knowing that there are lawyers and companies and other people that you want to work with that are on those boards with you is just a icing on the cake.
Right. Like, we like to eat. I don't know if you can tell that by looking at it. So we're trying to start a food thing, show.
Well, that would go over very well in Atlanta for sure.
Yeah, when we want to connect with someone, we just build a show, right?
Yeah, that's how we do it.
That's fine. And then invite them in.
Exactly. Yeah, we're doing a show. And they come on in. So you spoke briefly about it a moment ago, follow-up. Talk to us about some tips on follow-up that have really worked for you.
Absolutely. Well, one time I was on a panel. And this was really fortuitous because I was talking about media relations, which is one of my big areas, national media relations. People think that they need to go to a New York firm to get national media relations, to get on the Today Show and those types of things. And they don't know that there's some firms in Atlanta like ours where we have experts in doing that. And so I was on a panel with a woman who at the time was at AT&T. And I'm talking about that. And she whispers over afterwards, like, let's talk afterwards because the topic you're speaking about on this panel is exactly what I need some help with. I think, offering to come by and see the person at their location. Asking people these days for coffee or a lunch might be presumptuous, and people's time is so tough these days. But being able to stop by or saying, hey, I'm often in your area, and, might I be able to drop by sometime? It's usually pretty easy to get in someone's life when you're coming into their
habitat. Yeah, take them a box of Girl Scout cookies, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll definitely get some of those Savannah smiles. And that's very important. And I think just not being too presumptuous. Sometimes you literally just leave it as, we'll see each other in this small town. I'm sure I'll see you again at this event. Just finding out if they go to those, because it's really over time. As a patient, patience is a virtue that I'm always trying to achieve. I'm not great at that yet, but knowing that sometimes you'll meet somebody and it'll be 6 years later before you're doing business with them, and that's fine. It's just a matter of...
Young people buy that?
They're less patient than I am, so I don't believe so. But it is true that there are relationships made. I had a prospect come in yesterday, and we knew each other about 8 years ago on a board of all places. And he said he was thinking about a public relations project and thought of me. So whether it was a project I could take on or share with someone else,
right?
you know, him knowing me as a PR person really helped us connect, and hopefully will help him when he's trying to.
Well, I want to use a new technique that I just learned in the last 10 or 15 minutes, and we won't ask for 10, but share with us, if not exact names, three or four types of people that would be helpful for us to get you connected with.
Oh, fantastic. So I'm going to ask you for some connections.
Applied learning.
There you
absolutely
go.
Well, one of the areas for me is knowing brand managers at major companies. So a lot of public relations decision makers in the past had been directors of corporate communications.
Right.
That's still the case. But nowadays, folks can turn to PR firms if they want social media or marketing programs or just good ideas. So every time you meet, both of you, a brand manager, like, oh, there's a guy I'd like you to meet, Stephen Brown over at Cohen Wolf. So brand managers
are
a big deal.
Come on to our brand manager program.
There you go.
on the other end, we love to meet top executives. So a lot of folks will tell you in the networking world that if you can meet folks in the C-suite.
What about people who put on startup events?
Love those. Yeah. Love those.
Would
you know?
That be helpful?
Oh, I can't believe, you know, I came on a morning where I can sit right beside Sanjay and know about the startup riot. So absolutely.
So
it's
you've
very
never
important.
Met?
No, actually, we in our networking circles,
really?
They
That's
just connected
impossible.
Today.
That's impossible.
You know, the funny thing is that Cohen & Wolf actually was one of my PR firms way back in the day when I had my startup.
Wow. So. Well, I'll have to put you into our history book as we celebrate more than 30 years. So we'll definitely have to talk about that. That's another thing, too, is just alumni of your company and people that you've used to that you find out used to work with you. I got a project this week with a woman who was a graduate, an alumni of Cohen & Wolf early in her career. And you know, she had that good affinity towards us to work together again. So
how do you reach back out to alumni? That's a clever.
You know, the
approach.
Funny thing, in my first month of starting there, I heard from all of them. They definitely follow it very closely. And, you know, I'd never met Bob Cohen until I started at the job. And lo and behold, you know, got to have a nice steak dinner with Mr. Cohen. And so it's definitely, you know, people come out of the woodwork, and I think they hope for the best with companies that started in Atlanta in particular to be able to help you shape your destiny. But, you know, to your question, the brand managers, the C-suite, and also just people with good ideas or people who might be comfortable with their PR firm now but might think they want to look at some other options.
So people who have a PR firm that's not you, you'd like to meet them too.
We're not exclusive. You know, I think, you know, even folks like Coca-Cola that most folks in Atlanta are always chasing, I can't even count how many PR firms they have in marketing and social media firms.
Right.
And marketing, social media, advertising, we all purport to do many of the same things. So sometimes you just need another person to invite in for a proposal. And we like to be invited in, definitely, by these companies.
Now, Sanjay, any questions for Cohen & Wolf guy here?
Oh,
I know PR is part of your deal, right?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. You know, we don't do any PR in marketing.
What?
That's
impossible.
Yeah,
it just happened organically.
It's all word of mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
The riot has happened, just bubbled up organically.
We just have never had a budget to do any of that stuff. I mean, we
Cohen &
do
Wolf
everything.
Does free stuff all the time.
Oh, I'm in. Sign
you,
me up. No, I mean, since the beginning, we've never had the budget to do anything. We've done everything shoestring, which is why, you know, the prices of the tickets are so low and everything. So we've just now started talking about, man, we got to do something. So what should we do?
Well, absolutely. Well, there's a stair-step approach. And obviously, when you have a success like you do with Startup Riot, where it's a word-of-mouth phenomenon, and people who are startups in town, I would presume they all know about it. And if they don't, they've either been before and loved it, or they know somebody to recommend to as well. One of the things you just need to do is, for the long term, determine you know, what your overarching communications goals as you have expanded to places such as Seattle, especially if there are issues that you may confront ongoing. Let's say someone else starts tomorrow, and you know they start another organization that's completely the same as yours, and all of a sudden you're in competition. There might be some times where, because of competitive threats or other issues, somebody else comes into the market and you know, tries to take this over, that you're wanting to prepare for every scenario. And a lot of times we deal with issues and crisis, not to say that there would ever be one with your organization, but those are some of the inflection points where a lot of folks.
But how could he leverage the Seattle opportunity, which is obviously you can't have as much of a presence in Seattle as you do here in town, here in Atlanta, so that has its own challenges. How do you think, what would be a strategy for him?
One interesting tactic, I'll at least go to the tactic
on this one.
If you've got folks in Seattle and Atlanta who are both great alumni of this program, it might be interesting to come up with with a modern day pen pal program that's between the two, that someone who's a great startup person in Seattle versus Atlanta. You know, we used to deal with people who, you know, our sister city in Italy or something. But right here, you've got people across the nation that have all been successful folks through this organization. Yeah. There might be some way to
leverage that.
Leverage
a little
that.
Bit.
Absolutely.
So. That's great advice. You know, the funny thing about the competitive thing is that, you know, we've never really been too concerned about that. And early in the years of Startup Riot, I'd heard through the grapevine that somebody in Jamaica started up a competing event, basically took the same idea and did it there. And I was upset for only two reasons. One, they didn't ask me for help. And two, they didn't invite me.
Right.
Because come on, Jamaica.
Really?
I mean, how awesome would that have been? So, you know, we've never really been too concerned about that. Because honestly, if somebody can do what we do better than us, then we should go away. And we should do other things.
Well, absolutely. Well, obviously, you've got to be confident in your own convictions and your own great idea. And nobody's going to do it better than the people who came up with the idea. But, you know, just looking to make sure that you leverage that word of mouth. And it's hard to argue. Word of mouth is the best way. When that is working, that's probably one of the very best public relations tactics of all. And a lot of big companies with big budgets struggle for that nirvana. So that's fantastic that you're, you know, at that point as well. But you know, just to know that ongoing, you know, there could be other communications issues, other strategic issues that may come to mind. And as you grow to become in every city on earth that has startups, you might have the scale as well to have some of those larger.
Before we wrap this up, I'd like one quick tip for a startup. You're a startup. You have no money. You got a great idea. You're going to Startup Riot. How would they leverage being at Startup Riot? A quick and easy, down and dirty way.
Absolutely.
To do that.
I tell any company to have five reporters that are top of mind for you. Now, reporters now equals bloggers and all other things as well. But five influencers that you really cultivate. And because those folks who follow you in your early days will be the ones that are there when you go public, like Facebook did last night. And so the idea that you've got a few folks that are following you, that you're educating early about your value proposition, will serve you.
How do you
well.
Cultivate that? You just reach out.
They're really easy to meet with. Yeah, they're real. My reporter friend's laughing, but definitely.
So these are the people, though, that are saying, okay, Stone and Lee are presenting at Startup Riot. They're looking for capital. So you want your blogger guy to do it, your local news, your five guys. Is that what
absolutely.
You're saying?
Absolutely. You know, have you talked to Irvash at the Business Chronicle? You know, have you talked to so-and-so? You know, those folks that know you, because when they do have the time to do what's called a roundup story, where they're talking about, you know, oh, you know, what are four or five companies in town that are in the you know, geolocation space? Mm-hmm. And he happens to know that you're one of those, he'll call you in for the interview. So, you know, the idea about cultivating those particular bloggers or reporters or gatekeepers.
What's the difference between cultivating and stalking? What's that line?
Well, the reporters that get right back to you, you're cultivating. The ones that never answer their phone, you've got to employ showing up at the events where they're speaking.
If you go to their house in the middle of the night, that's stalking. Okay. No, that's not right.
That's the line.
That's
okay.
That's definitely the line.
When you're doing drive-bys in front of their house. Okay, got it. All right. Well, what's the best way to, if people want to learn more about Conan Wolf?
Absolutely. Well, we're CONWOLFE.com. And I personally here in town am Twitter at Stephen, STEPHENATL. And you can catch me here at the Conan Wolf Atlanta office in Buckhead. We're in Tower Place, right in the middle of Buckhead.
And they can just drop by, right? You're open to that.
Feel free to send me a note, but we'll definitely make time to chat.
All right. Well, this wraps up another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. We thank our guests, Sanjay and Stephen, and we will see you all next week.